Funko Pop.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Christian Jews podcast. It is a Monday. It's fall here in 2023. And that means our shows almost turn into borderline football shows or sports because it's that time of year. Football's going bananas. But here's the sad truth and reality. By the way, we are the Modern Christian Dudes. Dudes talk and news, sports, and God. That's what we do on our show. And so we hope you enjoy it, entertain you. But the big news, the biggest news coming out on the weekend, sadly, is what is this? Taylor Swift is a Chiefs fan now. Oh, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, the big news coming out of the week. I don't know if they're together or not, but for those of you that don't like Taylor Swift, well, you didn't probably didn't enjoy the game because they flashed to her in the box with Travis Kelce's mom every 2 seconds, it felt like, if you're watching the game. So
I'm just here's my thought. I'm not a fan. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm just not a fan professionally of her music, but I'm just thinking, if you're Travis Kelce's mom, you're looking at her, she's dating your son, you know, yep. I mean, you know, in a year from now, they're going to be broke up and he's going to be a subject of her song.
Right. I was listening to a couple things and it's like, this is not going to end well for you, Travis. And they actually brought up her past boyfriends and kind of, you know, she's elevated after breakup, she's elevated and they've kind of declined. So this could be, this could be bad for Travis Kelce.
he's jumped the shark.
And now, but here's the thing I thought is like, okay, now they'd played really well. So everyone's going to be like, oh, maybe she's the good luck charm of the team. And if we would have lost, they would have been like, get rid of her. So I did find this article. It says, trailer, is that you? Gaming couple nicknames for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. This is what we got to figure out now. The good nickname everyone's going to use. Travis Kelce said the ball was in Taylor Swift's court after he made a play for her, and the singer appears to have caught his pass. To be clear, we still don't know what is or is not going on with Taylor Swift and the NFL tight end. We do know, however, that Swift had a lot of people paying attention to Sunday's game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Bears. If people weren't trying to ship Swift and Kelce before cameras caught the cruel summer singer cheering on the Chiefs, they definitely are now. Ever since Kelce revealed on his podcast with his brother and fellow football player Jason Kelce, they have a pretty good decent podcast, by the way, you can check that one out, the Kelce brothers, that he tried to get Swift's attention via one of her famous friendship bracelets from her concerts, folks have been waiting to see if they actually become a thing or not. Now that Swift was seen sitting next to Kelce's mom in an Arrowhead Stadium suite, the naming conventions and Swifty investigative deep dives have started. Pursue social media and you will find that there are some strong contenders for what to call a potential Swift and Kelce coupling. Trailer, Tavis, or already among a favorite is Swelcy. So anyway, oh man, I'm not excited about this because now we're going to have to hear about Taylor Swift all the time when we in conjunction with the Kansas City Chiefs. But we probably need to pray for Travis Kelce on the show today in his decision making. But you know what? He's all over the place. He's probably one of the most recognized and popular players in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I've noticed he's on ads now.
He's on State Farm. He's Bud Light, which we don't drink beer. But I mean, he's everywhere. Pepsi. I saw him in the grocery store the other day. Giant Pepsi display. So dude's getting the dollars.
No, he's probably, you know, like you said, they make more money off the endorsements than they do playing football, probably.
Right. So there you go. The big story of the week, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Oh, that'll be an epic journey to watch. But yeah, they're saying too, you had mentioned she's coming out with an album next month. Their next game is in New York. So a lot of people calling this out is like, this is Taylor Swift's strategy right here. Yeah, working over our guy Kelce to build up her name. Poor guy's going to be on the curb.
Yeah, that's, man, a few months from now. The life of celebrity. It's the life of celebrity relationships. It's basically a mutual benefit type thing.
Yep. And then another one in a sad note, the interesting week, you know, it is NFL game is quite interesting. Always keeps you fascinated. But another on a sad note, my Colorado Buffaloes, I just drank the Kool-Aid, man. I got my cross chain on order. I got my Colorado t-shirt literally on order right now. And sure enough,
did you already get a Deion Sanders come in for a podcast already? Or
that would be so amazing. Even in their loss, Deion Sanders is amazing. I got some videos of him preaching at church and just on fire for the Lord. That's so great, I think he's amazing. And he's going to, like you said, here's what he said after the post game. He said, you better get us now because this is the worst we're going to be. And I agree with him because I think what's going to happen is they're going to be kind of like 500-ish, and then he's going to recruit like people want to play for Deion. I'm telling you, like if I sat down with that guy, I'd want to play for him after I got done talking to him.
I mean, it's great that you know he's got confidence, he's showing confidence stuff. To me, I'm like if I was a professional player in that position, I'm like I would try not to hype my team or hype. I don't want to get into hyping.
Yeah,
because. You know, my advice to my players: we win a game, awesome. Put it behind you.
Yep,
it's past. It's past now.
He did make another good note. He's like, most teams are trying to beat me, not our team. Wouldn't you say that's true? I think right now every team wants to beat Deion Sanders more than they want to beat the Colorado Buffaloes. I think there's an element of truth at least.
Well, he's well known. He's a very good. He was a very good football player. In his days of football, I mean, he's
Hall of Famer,
really good. Hall, you know, prime time and all that stuff. I mean,
he's got multiple rings.
Yeah, he's an excellent football player. So, anytime you get somebody successful, I mean, everybody's got their claws out for you. You know.
Yeah. Yep. And he's relentless, man. He'll preach it and those kind of things. So it does say here, ESPN Ohio State moves up to number 4 in the AP top 25, and then Colorado drops out. Colorado and Deion Sanders fell out of the Associated top. Press top 25 college football poll Sunday after a resounding loss. So not overly surprising, but a team to watch. And my Nebraska Cornhuskers actually won a game too as well. They're 2-2. They beat a horrible team. They're going to come up against Michigan this Saturday, so they'll get spanked, I'm sure. But I'm still on the Colorado Buffaloes train. I'm kind of wearing some Colorado Buffaloes yellow today. Don't have the black. I have a little black in there. So, yeah. I do have. That's a true story. I have a gold cross chain and a Colorado T-shirt on order.
Nice.
It's through a knockoff website, so it's going to take a while to get here. And they'll they'll really be in the toilet by the get here. Okay, hit us up with some stories there, Funko Pro Greg Walden, for the people.
Well, while we're on the topic of sports, if you saw yesterday's NFL games, Colorado can rest easy that they weren't the only team to get spanked.
Oh, there was some spankage yesterday, for sure.
This was a major spanking. I mean, I this is spanking on a universal level. I mean, this will be the only spanking that there is ever talked about for the next couple of years. this would be the Miami Dolphins and Denver Broncos.
Woo!
They were in Miami, and there were some records. There were some records that were set yesterday on the Miami side.
Yeah.
The final score was 70-20.
Jeez.
70-20.
That's just so many points.
they could have had more records, but the record for points scored in a regular season game was, I think it was Washington back in 1968.
Right.
And they had this, it was 72. So had Miami kicked that field goal at the end of the game, they could have got 73 and got the record, but they chose to be humble and.
Yeah, and they took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. I mean, there was reasonably it's reasonable to say they could have scored another touchdown two,
right?
Or two.
Well, what was funny is they took the starters out early. I mean, they took the starters out, and usually when you take the starters out, the tempo kind of goes down. You're like, okay, the backup's coming in. You're probably not going to score as many points. No, the spanking never stopped.
Yeah,
even with the
they're so fast. You know, they're so fast. They have a resemblance of KC Chiefs a little bit there, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. The biggest thing for them, as I tell my son in our Hey Dad, Let's Talk Sports podcast, injuries is always a big deal. We saw that this weekend. We have the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they win one big game. They think they're Super Bowl champions. What happens? Their star cornerback, Stephon Diggs, goes down. Their second best defense player goes down with an ACL. Done for the year. Yeah. What happens? They lose, you know. So there's a lot of those teams that are going to come back down to earth. There are some surprises. Broncos, again, surprised that they are that horrible. Chicago Bears, a lot of people were hyping up the Chicago Bears like they're this up-and-comer. I don't think so.
They got spanked yesterday by our Chiefs.
Go ahead, sorry.
But the records, There was a record set. They did now. Miami did score the most. They had the most total yards, and then they had 726 total yards of offense.
Wow,
that's an NFL record, and also
that's a lot. Think about that. That's more than the Rams back in the day, more than the Vikings back in the day with Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
Even the Patriots,
more than the Patriots with Brady and Randy Moss, and wow.
And there's another record that I guess it's the first time that you had five passing touchdowns and five rushing touchdowns in a single game.
Yeah. I don't even know what else. What do you say if you're the coach after that one? I mean, it's one thing if you get beat like 40-10 or whatever, 37-14, you know, man, they're the better team. We got spanked. This is beyond.
Well, you know that the Denver coach is probably being told right now, don't hang up any family photos in your office. You
right.
won't be there long enough to enjoy them type thing.
Right.
He's probably the most nervous person in America right now.
Well, and Sean Payton, great coach, you know, arguably Hall of Fame coach. And, you know, he signed a deal where he's getting like $20 million a year as a coach. So that's what a lot of people are saying. Sean Payton, if this whole season goes south, which it very much looks like it's going to, is that, you know, does he really want to endure this? Does he want to ruin his name? Because at best, they'll have a horrible season. They'll have to draft a quarterback. They'll have to rebuild. I mean, this is, if he's committed, really committed, it's going to take a few years to turn this thing around.
Well, you heard the commentators yesterday. He's like, when are they going to pull Russell Wilson out? When are they going to pull? I said, really, what's killing Denver is mostly their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson has nothing to do with their defensive performance, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a slack.
Scrambling for answers on that one. I guess that one you have to.
Now, does the Chiefs play the Dolphins this year?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Actually, man, I can pull that up in a second.
That's going to be an interesting game right there.
Yeah. I'd have to research that. What's your other stories there? But they do, because AFC, I think, if not once or twice, I'd have to just pull that up while I got it there. Okay. But we're live right now. But.
Well, you know, we've. I know we've had the debate over the e-bike versus the.
Okay, sorry. I'll hit that. So, yes, Miami, okay. November 11 5. November
Veterans 5th. Day game.
Yeah.
Veterans Day
game. So, there you go. So, they will play them.
Who are they playing at Miami or at the Chiefs?
That will be at Miami.
Oh, man.
So, road game.
Hopefully, the Chiefs are healthy.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's.
All right. Anyway, they got they had New York Jets next game. They got the Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Chargers, Denver Broncos again.
Here's
before they get to Miami.
Now, here's a question. Do you think the Aaron Rodgers injury is legit?
You know, I do. I do believe it's legit.
Well, they're saying that he said, I will be back by the playoffs. And I'm like,
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I was like, they show you, they actually show the replay of actually him going down. So he supposedly went down, got up, he was walking around like nothing, and all of a sudden he just went down. I'm like, that's not.
The replay I saw looked like it ripped hard.
Okay.
Yeah, the replay I saw made me feel pain.
Okay, yeah. The one I saw, he got up, he was just casual, and all of a sudden he just sat down, and I'm like, when I saw it, didn't look like a typical Achilles. Cause,
maybe it came out the next day, but I saw a couple shots of it, like as he's getting ripped down, and it's like you can watch it shredding. Didn't want to see it again. It was one of those kind of things. So you can clear, because it's an age thing. Happened to Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Happened to multiple, whatever reason that Achilles gets soft, terrible when you get in the upper 30s.
And I know typically with an Achilles, like they were saying, oh, he'll be back by playoffs. Like, dude, not with an Achilles injury, man.
No.
I've had Achilles tendonitis. That was a light case, and I was like, I couldn't do nothing for a couple months.
Yeah, that's a serious injury.
A ripped Achilles, a torn Achilles, it's like you're talking about a year. And you get surgery a year, and then you probably might not be in your prime until about 2 years after you're done. Oh. So it's not a fast.
Significant injury. Right. But, anyway. Well, e-bikes, what is this? E-bikes?
Okay, we've had the little what you call bike rivalry going on here.
Right. Down with the e-bikers. I joined the anti-e-bike community. I'm in a club now. Like, I have a monthly subscription.
There's a guy, his name is Alex. His YouTube channel is called The Single Track Sampler. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I have not. Single Track Sampler.
Yeah, he's been around the mountain bikes. He's got a really popular YouTube channel. He's been good around for at least 10 years, at least.
Okay.
But the guy, you know, he used to live in a car and go right mountain biking, and he made his YouTube channel off of that. But he actually, he's actually had the e-bike because, yeah, I guess he rode an e-bike once, and his YouTube, the half his people were commenting like, oh man, they were giving him hate because of it and stuff. He's like, you know what? he's like, you know what? I'm gonna do a study. I'm gonna see how, you know, with health wise and all that stuff. I think he's in North Carolina somewhere right now, or somewhere in the mountains. But he's like, one day I'm gonna ride my, he called it the Amish bike. He called his bike the Amish bike. Okay. I thought it was hilarious, the Amish bike. I've heard it called analog bike, old school bike.
Oh,
yeah. He's called it the Amish bike. Okay. He's like, one day he's like, he's gonna ride 2 hours on the Amish bike up there on the mountains. So he's gonna time everything, how long it takes him to do the whatever. He's wearing his heart monitor together his health stats and stuff like that. Then the next day he was gonna ride an e-bike, the same route, 2 hours, do just 2 hours worth of riding. Same route and see, you know, compare.
Sure.
And so I got the video of his results.
Okay.
So I'll play it right now for you guys.
Yeah, we got the audio here. We're going to pipe in.
Yep.
Video that everyone's been waiting for. Let's look at some numbers.
All right, back in the van, and I have accumulated quite a number of stats that I think a lot of you are gonna find really interesting. I find really interesting. Let's start with the basics, the big picture stuff. And I'll put all this stuff on the screen so you guys can keep up with me. The total time ridden on both, 2 hours. The total distance ridden on the regular bike is 7.7 miles. The e-bike was 11 miles. Total elevation ridden was 2,203 feet for the reg bike and 3,293 feet for the e-bike. The laps that I was able to do on each ride were 3 top to bottom runs on the regular bike and then the equivalent of 35 jumps versus 4 top to bottom runs and 85 jumps. Average speed on my regular mountain bike was 3.84 miles per hour. On the e-bike, it was 5.5. Max speed though was 26.84 miles an hour on my regular bike and 24.61 on the e-bike. So definitely can go faster on my classic bike. Well, that's a new one. Than on the e-bike, which I actually was a little surprised to see. We're looking at like a lot of 50%. So 50% further, about 50% more climbing and downhill practice, and more than double the amount of jumps. Now, let me tell you the lap times for each run. I went and looked at each of my GoPro clips and found how long it took me to get down each run, and because I was curious. So first, let's start with the climb time. The main climb on my regular bike, I got up in 17:37. And on the e-bike, that same climb took me only 10 minutes and 20 seconds. On the steeper climb, the back way up, it took me 13 minutes on my acoustic bike and only 6 minutes, under half the time on my e-bike. For the green flow run, I was fastest on the e-bike with a time of 3 minutes 55 seconds. On my regular bike, it was 4 minutes and 2 seconds. So pretty close, but faster on the e-bike. On the slope style run, this was interesting. On the one that I was not sure I'd do great on the e-bike, it wouldn't handle it well. I was 1 second faster at 1 minute and 59 seconds on the e-bike and 2 minutes on my Amish bike. But this is the most interesting thing to me. I was 4 seconds slower on the e-bike, coming in at 2 minutes 10 seconds versus 2 minutes and 6 seconds on my regular bike. So what I was feeling when I was riding actually is shown in the numbers. When I have a straightaway flow E trail, the e-bike is faster thanks to its heavier weight, and I can pick up speed faster, probably gain, you know, like when I hit my brakes, I can get back to speed faster. However, when riding the really techie stuff, I clearly prefer being on the regular bike with its better maneuverability. Now let's get into the more health.
All right, so let's keeps going on there. So your overall take on that video, sounds like e-bike slight edge still. Times.
Yeah, on the health stats, the calories burned on the regular bike was about 1,200, but he burned like 1,500 calories on the e-bike for the same amount of time. And my take was basically the reason why the e-bike seemed to be better was because he's able to ride it more. That's all. I mean, I would say, you know, the calories burned per minute would be probably higher on the acoustic bike because obviously you're working more, but you're going to run out of gas a lot faster on the acoustic bike than you will the e-bike. So you're able to ride further, which my guess is really helped is the climbs, easy stuff, and you're able to ride it longer. That's the reason why the e-bike kind of got more favorable terms. Yeah. But again,
I'll probably get an e-bike at some point in my life, but for now.
Well, again, here's the thing. Now,
maneuverability.
The maneuverability is the big. Yes. Oh man, I'll be the first one to tell you. When I've got both an Amish bike. I do have an Amish bike, and I've got an e-bike. And I notice that with the e-bike, it's harder to turn. Mm-hmm. I mean, corners are not as easy on the e-bike as they are the acoustic bike. That's probably my biggest fuss with riding e-bike is it doesn't corner as easy as the Amish bike does. Which, I mean, again, you're sitting a little bit higher. An e-bike, at least to me, I feel like I'm sitting higher off the ground, which obviously will affect your cornering
than you are
on an Amish bike. But
there you go. Still, the questions remain. What will happen? But I do like the names, those names, because I do think that'll eventually.
I thought the Amish bike was awesome.
Amish bike. It's all going to go that way. It's all going to go that way. I mean, yeah. And you're, like I said, I think for me, it would be in a matter of, the reason I'd want to ride one is just because I could ride more.
Yeah, that's right. The main
you know, thing. Like you can ride more.
Well, my thing is like, of course, I'm over 50. So, you know, once you get over 50, your knees, ankles, everything start going snap, crack, and pop on you. Not your cereal, but you know, you get old. You know, like the biggest thing for me with e-bikes is once you get your age where you start having joint issues or joint pain, it actually gives you more years on the bike. So that enables you to stay on a bike longer.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you're. Because I talked to a guy. There's a guy at the bike shop in Fruita, and he's like 79 years old, going on 80, and he's like, and he's still out there riding. He rides an e-bike, but he basically told me, he's like, without the e-bike, I'd be done because he's got a lot of knee pain and joint issues that he couldn't ride on an Amish bike.
Yep, they're still up there in cost. You know, it's like I'm
expensive.
Looking at,
and they are more expensive too. So I mean, the e-bikes are more expensive than an Amish bike. So again, I still like the Amish bike. I mean, I would still ride my Amish bike because there's a lot of trails, like especially in Kansas City, where you can't ride your e-bike. So you still need the Amish bike if you want to go ride some places.
But. Yep. All right. Any other stories there, Funko Pro, Craig Walden?
The only thing I got is a spiritual one, but I can save it for the spiritual talk.
Yeah, let's do spiritual talk. I'll do a couple. There are sports/spiritual. Some people don't believe that, but this truly is sports slash spiritual. Let me bounce over to it. I bounced away from it. Oh, they're right there. It is right there. Anyway, newly baptized NFL legend Jim Kelly. Remember Jim Kelly back in the day? Becoming a Christian is the best decision I've ever made. So he just recently gets baptized.
He's had some health issues.
Yeah, cancer. And so, wow, great to hear from Jim Kelly giving us Jesus Christ. That's so amazing. Awesome. Yeah. So this week, Jim Kelly posted video and photos of her husband getting baptized in a swimming pool. The very best. God changed my life. Kelly 63 has been outspoken about his Christian faith and how it sustained him through the death of his son and his own cancer diagnosis.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. Great. Yeah. You can check out that video. Amen. Jim Kelly getting baptized and praise God. Yeah, praise God for that.
Yeah.
Let's hit up the spiritual talk.
Well, we were talking about the talents, the parable of the talents yesterday in Sunday school.
Okay.
About the one where Jesus gives one servant, the master gives the one servant five talents, other servant two, and then one servant one.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant with the five and the two go out and double the money. But the one that got the one talent went and buried it in the sand. And how Jesus dealt with the three of them. And he dealt favorably with the one who had the five and the two talents, but he dealt harshly with the one that buried his talent in the sand. And we were discussing, the implications of that, what a talent was. I mean, we think that a lot of people think the talents were like your abilities and skills, but I mean, obviously God does want you to use your talents.
Right.
But that parable wasn't really true, talking about talents.
Yeah.
Because it says he gave the talents according to their abilities. And so a lot of people, a lot of scholars believe that the talents was actually referencing money.
Sure.
So he gave one servant five talents based on the ability that servant had.
Yep.
And two to the ability that, and one to the ability. But and they further dissected that and said it really because they used reference because Jesus actually was talking about his own. I mean, the parable was him talking about himself because he said the master was going to go away. Mm-hmm. So in the story is actually Jesus was going to go away, and he left us responsibilities to do until he returns. And so what is our responsibility? Why doesn't God just beam us up when we get saved? I mean, that would be awesome if we get saved and just gone or back in heaven. It'd be awesome, but God doesn't do that. Why? There's a reason why he leaves us here. And that is that our main job is to go out and reach others for Jesus. Yes. I mean, that's our main purpose for being here. That you take everything, all the church's mission, sum up to one main responsibility to reach others for Jesus.
Yep.
I said, there's other people out there going to hell, and God doesn't want them to go to hell. Hell wasn't created for them. God doesn't want them to go there, but they're on the way there. God says, you're the ones I'm giving the responsibility to go reach those people. And so that's our job. So I think the parable's actually addressing the issue of slothfulness and laziness, because the two servants that God, that God rewarded weren't lazy. They eagerly went out and did the responsibility that their master told them to do. But the one was lazy. He didn't take his master seriously. He didn't take the responsibility seriously.
Yep.
He just sat on it and was lazy. And so the Bible says, he's addressing me, you wicked, lazy servant. And so we are the responsibility. Are we going to be lazy servants? Or are we going to be eager servants who take God's responsibility seriously? Or are we just going to be lazy and not take him seriously? And it's like, well, he's not coming back and all that stuff. We've been really pushing this, is getting the kids understanding, go out and reach your friends for Jesus. Mm. Go out and witness. I mean, getting that desire. It's like each one of us have lost loved ones, lost friends. I said, you don't have to be 20 years old to go reach. You're 5-6 years old. You can reach people for Jesus just as much as somebody who's 80 years old can.
Yeah.
There's no age limit to going out and reach people for Jesus. And so that's our responsibility. And what's odd is like, that's awesome. 2 years. This is amazing. I thought, I blew my own mind too. I was like coming out of the bathroom after taking a shower and something just came to my mind. It's like, I told the kids, like, interesting, like, how the devil works. He tries to convince people that following the life of sin is you're going to have this great life. You'll be able to party, do all blah, 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 blah. And if people follow that, find out that life is promised is an illusion. But the chains are real. But on the flip side, the devil tries to convince you not to go follow Christians because Christianity is he's like, I've heard it before. Oh, Christianity is going to be boring. You're not going to be able to do all the fun stuff. It's just like all these rules, blah, blah, blah. So he makes it look like a life of chains. But when you become a Christian, you realize the chains are an illusion, but the life is real. It's kind of flipped.
Right.
It's like,
yeah. Yeah, I love it, man. That's probably one of my all-time favorite. And like I said, there's a little bit of it's not unfair to apply it to our abilities or to our talents, but it is most contextually accurate to speak to its main intent, which is that is to do something with the gospel and to do that. Again, that's our purpose. I go to, I just finished up a week of school, and I'm not putting it down, but sometimes I go to, these church conferences. Sometimes church growth, and it's all like, oh, what's your vision? What's your mission? And there's value to that, to kind of defining, some things that God has specifically given you. But again, it's like, in one sense, it's kind of simple, right? At the end of the day, like, this is not, I probably shouldn't have to take like 2 years to figure out what God's mission is for the church.
Well, we've all got talents. We were talking about Taylor Swift. She's a great, I'm sure she's probably a great singer, but she's using that talent for evil. Not for Jesus.
Yeah.
But think about that. That's like taking your talent and burying it in the sand. Like, you're not using it to further Jesus. You're just burying it in the sand.
Yeah.
And so, and we've all got talents. I mean, everybody has ideas of what they would like to do, but But, you know, as part of, a, you know, being a Christian is, you know, God gives each of us different abilities. I mean, I've got abilities you don't have. You got abilities I don't have. Yep. And that's fine. That's great. God didn't create us all to be robots, to be equal carbon copies of each other. He gave us all special abilities and talents, and we discover those. And then we find that how, you know, God, in opportunities will open up to use those to reach people for Jesus.
Yep. Amen. Absolutely. That's the goal. You know, that is the game plan. That is the goal. And that's what Paul, we talked about that in church yesterday. The game plan is that God wants to bring everybody, both Jew, Gentile,
and my last analogy, I'm sorry, I don't want to go on. But
yep.
Think about this. And this is probably going to, dig in a little on toe step in a little bit. But if you have a lost loved one, you see them in a fire, would you stay outside the building and not go in and try to save them? A lot of people will say, well, I won't go out. I mean, I'll go in there and risk my whole life to get them out of that burning fire, out of that burning house. And that's great. That's what they should do. But yet they'll sit back and let them go to a burning hell and not say a word.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of something to chew on there.
Yep. Awesome. Appreciate that so much, Greg. I don't have anything to add to it. I'm just meditating on it, receiving it. So bless you guys. Serve Jesus. Let's go give the gospel. That's the best thing that we could do. We did talk news. We did talk sports. But the best thing we could ever talk to people about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk to you guys next time. I'm married to the Huntress. Taylor Swift needs gospel. Yes.